Well, the good ship icebreaker Nuyina has quietly docked in Hobart. There was no greeting party, as the city was, of course, at first locked by COVID. However, we can do a science show tour right now with Mark Horstman. Remember him from Catalyst? And Vic Doost from the Australian Antarctic Division.
And we're just come into now on deck four, which is the science deck, and we've come into one of the wet labs, which is one of four, two dries and two wets. And for obvious reasons that we handle wet samples here and do our research with biomasses captured from the sea and brought into these labs. And that's all supported also by refrigeration capably in these labs to then store these samples. But there's some pretty cool systems also connecting on this deck where the science lab connect out to another wet area.
Which is a bit like going through doors on a space station at the moment. It's a very well-equipped set of labs, but they're the kind of labs you'd find anywhere on land. What makes these ones different?
Probably because they're so interconnected. They are very easy workflows from one to the other, and it's been very well thought out to ensure that it's easy for the scientists to work at all this level, to move the heavy equipment, to move their samples. And we just stepped through into one of those areas, which is the CTD hangar, which has a number of material handling equipment like cables and also cranes. But what's particularly interesting here, it has two ways of deploying these science systems, through a moon pool, through the hull, and that's mainly because if you're surrounded by ice, doing its icebreaker role, we can't deploy systems into the water surrounded by ice. So the moon pool is a key for us to continue our science operations whilst we're in the sea ice. But also, when we're in open water, we have a side door where those same deployment systems can deploy the science systems out into deep water. And it's thousands of metres of cable to drop those scientific instruments down, either remote-operated vehicles or semi-autonomous or autonomous vehicles, and also CTD systems. So one hangar can do two ways of deploying systems.
Is this the first time the Australian Antarctic Program has had something like a moon pool?
Yes, for sure. Our previous vessels, which have been all chartered, didn't have that capability, and a lot of science vessels working in the polar regions need that system.
Rather large doors, watertight doors.
We continue now on the side alleyway that goes from that CTD hangar straight out onto the science deck, which has a myriad of different methods again to support science. That's cables and winch systems that are all operated by a number of winches below this deck on deck three, from that deck over the top of this aft deck, so that you can change and reconfigure this for different types of science experiments. You have a very large stern frame, 10 tonnes, that can then deploy systems out directly down, like the CORA system that you see here. It's 24 metres and can drop 8.8 kilometres down to take samples from the sea floor. We also have a number of different, what they call gallows, where the cables go out to trawl systems like nets or other instruments. There's also side deployment systems. So these myriad of systems mean that we can put out four or five different systems at once and support them concurrently, all controlled by the aft control room up on deck six that can remotely operate these cable systems from an office environment, effectively with all the screens set up with CCTVs and controls for the winches and instruments to fire them or open a net or whatever the case may be.
And we're surrounded by a small fleet of smaller boats. What do they have to do with science?
The one particularly that's of note is the science tender. And so that's on the port side, about midships. And that is purpose-built for purely science. It has everything from also its own moon pool to have its own multi-beam systems in there and other acoustic systems. It has its own little A-frame too to tow things, own little side gantry crane to drop things into the water. And again, whilst it's operating in ice, it uses its moon pool to deploy systems in there. It could carry up to six people, has all their acoustic systems fitted out already. It's about 12.5 metres long, about 8.5 tonnes. So a significant upgrade of what we've had before. It's a purpose-built science tender.
You mentioned multi-beam, that's an echo sounder. What kinds of echo sounders and acoustic devices are installed on the main ship, the RSV Nuyina?
Well, you have multi-beams and there's a number of other acoustic systems that are hull-mounted, but of particular interest is also the keel-mounted systems. This allows us to deploy two keels, drop keels they're called, they go down about 3 metres below the hull, and that's mainly to make sure we don't gain any interference from the hull itself, like bubbles sweep down or bubbles over the hull. And so these configurable, they have their own acoustic systems also, sonar systems, and one has nothing on it right now because we can adapt it and change whatever we want. You can pull them up out of the water, change these instruments on the base of them, then put them back in there. So again, the workflow has been worked out so we ensure that we have a system that's very flexible for the science side of things.
How is this ship going to change access to the Southern Ocean and the ice of continental Antarctica? And how much more of the year are people going to be able to spend doing that kind of research?
This is the exciting part, which is sort of my lane, is that the logistics capability of the vessel is significantly more than what we've had previously. The displacement tonnage of this vessel is 3 times as big as the Aurora Australis we had, which means we carry a lot more cargo. It's a lot less time to do the cargo operations to resupply our stations. Therefore, there's a lot more days available for marine science. And so we're hoping around 60 days, at least if not more, per year of dedicated science voyages, which is far beyond what we've had before.
What do you expect the lifetime of this ship to be?
Right now we have a contract with Serco operating and maintaining it for 10 years, but the life of the vessel, right from the beginning of the design phase through to the build, was always 30 years. And so the budget provided to us and the capital that we got from the government was that to guarantee for the next 30 years 200 days per year, which is phenomenal. You know, in fact, a lot of other nations are just amazed that we've got that capability and that guaranteed funding to ensure that we've got 30 years life of this for 200 days per year and at least 60 or more days per year for science, which is fantastic.
If you could pick one, what's your favourite feature of this ship?
I think hands down is that even though I was focused on the operational side of the vessel, I think the science capability is the key, because all those big questions that we need to answer, particularly in the Southern Ocean with climate change, what's happening to our oceans and what drives the weather in the world is in the Southern Ocean, that's key to me, is making sure that this remains relevant and is fully utilised to full potential to support science systems. That's the key to me.
Thanks, Vic. Happy sailing.
Thanks very much. Cheers.
Vic Doost with Mark Horseman on the icebreaker Nuyina, all $528 million worth, having sailed from Holland, now in Hobart, a mighty scientific ship.